48, Unit 1, Government and Law. Government is an organization that has the power to make and enforce laws. The Georgia Constitution sets out the framework, powers, duties, and operation of our state government. The Constitution also outlines the roles and rights of the state's citizens. Georgia's government works through its three branches: legislative, lawmaking; executive, law enforcing; and judicial, law interpreting. The state also gives some powers and responsibilities to local governments, which can be either county or city governments, or a combination of the two. Citizens of Georgia play a role in government. As individuals, citizens have both rights and duties. Citizens can also join organizations, including political parties, to influence government to make laws and policies that they believe will work best. As citizens and residents of the state, we all have responsibilities. At any age, we must obey the laws. Studying Georgia government is useful because we all consume the services our governments provide. For example, we use roadways, bridges, and public school bus systems to get around our county. These are funded by local government and the state, with money from the national government added in. We have access to clean drinking water, and we eat meals at restaurants that must pass state inspections for clean and sanitary food preparation. At the age of 18, we also become shareholders in government because we can then legally vote for candidates for public office. The chapters in this unit examine the structure, operation, and importance of government in Georgia under our present Constitution, as well as the rights and the duties of being a citizen. Page 50 is a focus on the reading skill, comparing and contrasting. Page 51 contains signs of the times about population, cost of living, transportation, education, music, science inventions, and literature. Page 52, Chapter 2, Pillars of Government. Chapter Preview, Terms. Government, Representative Democracy, Constitution, Sovereignty, Limited Government, Federalism, Separation of Powers, Checks and Balances, Preamble, Ratification, Slander, Libel, Search Warrant, Probable Cause, Bail, Felony, Precinct, Polling Place, Nonpartisan, Majority, Referendum, Political Party, Political Ideology, Interest Group, Lobbyist. Page 53. Government maintains order, provides services that keep society functioning, and protects its citizens. The founders of the United States decided early that the type of government of the new American nation was to be a republic or representative democracy. It is a government in which elected leaders make decisions on behalf of the people they represent. These leaders have the authority and the power to do so only by going before the voters and standing for election. The document that set up that form of government is a constitution, which is the fundamental plan of operation for a government. It is also a written guarantee of the rights one has as a citizen. It outlines what government can do, and it spells out those actions that government may not do. The United States Constitution is based on certain principles that our founders believed would best allow our citizens to have life and liberty and to pursue happiness. The state of Georgia is established on the same principles. All citizens of Georgia live under the government established by the U.S. Constitution, as well as the government of Georgia established by the current Georgia Constitution. In this chapter, you will examine the basic structure of Georgia state government and the basic operation of the political process, as well as the rights and the responsibilities of citizens. Page 54, Section 1, Basic Pillars of Government. As you read, look for the concepts of sovereignty, limited government, and federalism, the concepts of separation of powers and checks and balances, the Georgia Constitution and methods of amending the Constitution, terms, sovereignty, limited government, federalism, separation of powers, checks and balances, preamble, ratification. Our government at both the national and state levels is based on certain principles that have developed throughout human history. Among these are the ideas that power is given to government by the people, who then live by the rules or laws established, that government power is limited, that to limit government we separate it into different levels, national and state, and that at those levels we divide it into branches with different functions that overlap just enough to keep one branch from taking over another. The national and state governments each have three branches through which they act. These different parts of government have separate powers to carry out their functions. Their powers have limits, however, and each has ways to keep the other two from becoming too powerful. Sovereignty and limited government. One basic principle is sovereignty. Sovereignty is the idea of supreme power or the source of authority. When the United States became independent from Great Britain, it became a sovereign nation. It could decide upon its own internal government and its policies toward other countries. In our government, power rests with the citizens. The people of the United States are sovereign, and the power to govern comes from the people. Within our sovereign nation, the power of government was limited by those creating it. This is the idea of limited government. Government only has the duties and powers granted to it by the people being governed. The founders put limits on government in the supreme law of the land, the United States Constitution. The Constitution outlines government's powers and functions. The first 10 amendments, called the Bill of Rights, limit the government by guaranteeing certain rights to the people. For example, government cannot establish a religion or control the press. It cannot put someone in prison without a proper trial. Having a written constitution establishes what is known as the rule of law. Nations that follow the rule of law abide by their constitutions rather than allowing public officials to do what they wish. No one in public office, including the President of the United States, is above the law. A saying that is often quoted is, "Ours is a government of laws and not of men." Federalism. The U.S. Constitution also limits government power by dividing both powers and responsibilities between the national and the state governments. The division of powers and duties between the national and state governments is called federalism. When the United States was founded, the colonies wanted to keep their boundaries and their identities and not be swallowed up in the merger that created the Union. Former colonies became states. When the United States Constitution was written, they remained states. In a federal system, the right of states to carry out laws and regulations for the benefit of their citizens is protected. States can and do make final decisions regarding some government activities. A citizen of Georgia lives under two governments, national and state, and is obligated to obey the laws of both. Page 56. The national or federal law takes priority over state law if there is a conflict. And, to be valid, any law must be constitutional. This comes from the Supremacy Clause, Article 6 of the Constitution. This Constitution and the laws of the United States shall be the supreme law of the land. The easiest way to sort out the powers of government, to know which ones belong to the national government and which ones belong to the states, is to divide them into categories: A, enumerated powers, B, reserved powers, and C, concurrent powers. Enumerated powers are those powers given to the national government exclusively in the Constitution. These include the power to print or coin money, declare war, make treaties, conduct foreign affairs, call out the militia, support an army and a navy, and establish post offices. Reserved powers are those intended for the states exclusively. Examples include the power to allow cities and towns to set up governments, issue business licenses, operate public schools and colleges, enact traffic laws on public roads, and conduct elections. Concurrent powers are shared by both national and state governments. The U.S. government and Georgia's government collect taxes, build roads, borrow money, and operate a court system. Separation of powers and checks and balances. Government is also limited and controlled by dividing it among different branches, each of which has different functions. The founders wanted to limit the ability of one branch of government to control or weaken the other two branches. The founders devised a system known as the separation of powers. Each branch of government would have its powers limited to its own area of interest, and each must cooperate with the other two branches in governing. Both the national government and our state government are structured this way. The three branches of government are the legislative branch, which makes the laws, the executive branch, which carries out and enforces the laws, and the judicial branch, which interprets how the laws apply to particular situations, tries those who are accused of breaking the law, and punishes those found guilty. The powers of these separate branches of government have limits, however, and each has ways to keep the other two branches from becoming too powerful. This system is known as checks and balances. In the United States government, for example, Congress may pass a law, but the president may veto, refusal to approve, it. A countercheck that balances this power is that Congress may override, reverse, the veto, but it takes an overwhelming number of legislators to do so. The Supreme Court has the power to declare a law made by Congress to be unenforceable if it violates the Constitution. In turn, the U.S. Senate uses its confirmation power to accept or reject candidates for federal judgeships, including Supreme Court justices. Because of this arrangement, the three branches must work together to make government operate smoothly. Georgia's government also has checks and balances. These checks and balances will be explored in chapters 3, 4, and 5. Page 58. Georgia's Constitution. Soon after the new national government wrote and adopted the U.S. Constitution in 1788, Georgia responded with the Constitution of 1789, which made its government structure like the federal one. Over the state's history, its citizens have written and adopted 10 constitutions. The current one was adopted in 1983. In its preamble, introductory statement, Georgia's Constitution states that its purpose is to perpetuate the principles of free government, ensure justice to all, preserve peace, promote the interest and happiness of the citizens and of the family, and transmit to posterity the enjoyment of liberty. Posterity refers to descendants yet to be born. These guarantees of government are meant for all future generations. There are 11 articles, main subject areas, in Georgia's Constitution. Article 3, the legislative branch, will be described in Chapter 3. The executive branch and constitutional boards and commission will be explored in Chapter 4, and the judicial branch will be the subject of Chapter 5. Chapter 7 will address counties and municipal corporations. By their very nature, state constitutions are longer than the U.S. Constitution. Georgia's Constitution has about 40,000 words and has been amended dozens of times since 1984. There is a good reason for the difference. State constitutions are more detailed and specific in their directions on how to carry out government functions. The method of amending or altering the Georgia Constitution is also quite different from the method used in the federal Constitution. First, a proposed change is voted upon by the General Assembly in the form of a resolution passed by both houses. The proposed change, or amendment, is then sent to the voters for ratification, official approval. The item appears in the form of a question: shall the Constitution be changed to allow? On the ballot in the next general election. The process can take up to 2 years, with the resolution introduced and passed in one session and then held until the November election in the next even-numbered year. Reviewing the section, 1. Define sovereignty, federalism, checks and balances. 2. How can the Georgia Constitution be amended? 3. Why is it important to have a system of checks and balances? Page 59. Of Special Interest, Direct versus Representative Democracy. Democracy is a system of government that places power in the hands of the people, either directly or indirectly through elected representatives. The Greek philosopher Aristotle believed that the collective judgment of the many was preferable to that of a few. The city-state of Athens operated under a direct democracy, a form of democracy in which the citizens take part directly. In ancient Greece, around 450 BC, an assembly of citizens, adult males who owned property and were not slaves, gathered periodically in a public forum to debate issues and make decisions. Some were big decisions. Should we increase our fleet of ships and prepare for war with Sparta? Some were minor decisions. Should we make a law that prohibits farmers from herding goats in the city on market days? Pericles, a Greek statesman, said, "Although only a few may originate a policy, we are all able to judge it." In other words, while one person may propose something, we all get to decide on it. In U.S. history, the idea of direct democracy took root in the tradition of town meetings in the New England states. At those meetings, all voting-age citizens could come and vote yes or no on issues concerning their town. They might pass ordinances, approve the town budget, or settle other matters brought before the town meeting. Each citizen had a vote on each issue. The U.S. Constitution does not declare that America was founded as a democracy or that democratic principles must be followed. Instead, it is simply understood that it will be so. The framers, those who designed and wrote the Constitution in 1787, decided early in their deliberations that the new American nation was to be a republic, a government in which elected leaders make decisions on behalf of those they represent. These leaders have the authority and the power to make the decisions only by going before the voters and standing for election. What we have is a representative democracy.